She's waiting. She visits the unjust judge. She doesn't give up. She keeps going. The verb there suggests repetition. In between those visits, she's waiting. She never gives up. She never loses a sense of urgency. She still asks. She still seeks justice as she waits. Beautiful example. Now, what's another reason why we don't go to the depths of our soul and pray? I suppose part of the reason, honestly, as I was thinking about this, is so often in life, maybe you can relate to this, maybe you can't. Not all my points here are going to relate to you, some might. But I think one reason why is because so often in the weeks that we spend, we don't experience all that much trouble. Or the trouble that we experience isn't all that big. We're living in the 21st century, and some of the maybe the biggest decision that you had this last week was what kind of bread you were going to select at the grocery store. Now, things are difficult, times are hard, inflation's up. There's difficulty that's come in the last couple of years. There's no doubt it's out there. But the reality of it is that we do have access to resources. And if we don't have food on the table, there are many social networks that we can connect with to supply food for our tables. Thank goodness we have Philomath Community Service. Thank goodness we have so many agencies that do this. We also have people to help us in our social networks to support us. We have friends and relatives and neighbors and church friends. That's super awesome. We have a lot of avenues to help us in our trouble, and it can lead us to a point where we can think that I'm self-sufficient. I can take care of myself. I don't have any trouble. Pause for a moment and take a look at the woman in Luke chapter 18. She's got trouble. She's a widow. In the first century, what that means is this: no money, no social security, no pension, no trust, nothing. No social network. She's cut off from a family. No support groups, no social clubs. She's got nothing. She's got one thing. She has prayer. That's it. All she's got. Another reason I think that we tend to not go to the depths of our soul to pray and get to the depths so often is, sometimes, I'm just being honest here this morning, sometimes we get to the point where, well, what difference will it really make to pray? Is it really going to change things? Imagine that a doctor comes to you, like, imagine Dr. Stanley here. Says this to you. He says, he'd never say this, so don't, I'm not holding against him, but imagine he said something like this. You know what you have, he wouldn't say this, so don't hold it against him. imagine any doctor saying this to you. What you have is very difficult, and I've come to the conclusion you're not going to be cured from it, and the treatments that's out there, I just don't think you can have it. Hard news to take, but then the doctor explains further to you. He says, there is a treatment, I just don't think it's good for you because it's up in Salem, and the machine that would take care of this problem that you have, it's only available from 4 a.m. in the morning until 5:30 a.m. in the morning on a Friday morning. And I've looked at you, and I just don't think you're a morning person. So he'd never say that. Never say that. Now, if your doctor told you that, if they said something like that, wouldn't you stand up to him and say, "No way. I'm drinking 5 cups of coffee, and I'm making it to Salem on Friday in the morning. It's going to happen. I don't care what you think, doctor." That's what you'd say. We all would say that. God has given you a tool to make a difference in prayer. What it is. So often we come to the conclusion that will it really make a difference? Oh, the disaster in India, it won't make a difference to pray. Or the devastation in Florida from the hurricane, it won't really make a difference. Or what the doctor told me, it's incurable, I don't need to pray, it's not going to make a difference. Take a look at the woman of Luke 18. She believed her prayer would make a difference. The judge is corrupt. He's probably the only judge in town, is related to half of the community, probably. And she comes to him and she doesn't give up. She keeps requesting, keeps asking, because she believes that what she's going to pray is going to make a difference. As we studied parables in seminary, what I remember from some of my teachers was that most parables do ask you to do one of two things, or sometimes two things. They either ask you to compare something, or they ask you to contrast something. And so if you take that logic, this parable oftentimes is interpreted as a way to compare ourselves to the widow. And so if you kind of do a little more thought about that, what it's saying is we need to persist and be like the widow and ask no matter what. And that's certainly here in this parable. But as I study it this week, there's something else going on here. It's at the heart of it.